Welcome to Torat Imecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Amy Horowitz, and this week we'll be learning Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak tells the pretty famous story of Bilam, the non-Jewish prophet who was hired by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse the Jewish people. The Jewish nation by now is famous in the Middle East, conquering armies and occupying lands as they get closer and closer to crossing the border into the land of Israel. They've just conquered the nation of Emori, and the Moavi people are petrified, knowing they're next. No army has yet withstood the Jewish forces, and Balak knows he doesn't stand any better of a chance. So in a last-ditch effort to stop the Jews from conquering and occupying his land, Balak hires Bilam to stop them with the power of his words, a curse. Balak sends multiple rounds of messengers to Bilam to sign and seal the deal, but Bilam refuses, saying, "Lo uchal la'avor et pi Hashem Elokai. I can't violate the word of Hashem, my God. I'm not coming with you." Following Bilam's refusal, Hashem appears to the non-Jewish prophet and tells him he can go with Balak's men, so Bilam goes. And then a strange thing happens. Hashem gets mad at Bilam for going. How can this be? Bilam was happy not to go with Balak's men. He affirmed his allegiance to God, and then God told him to go, so out of that same sense of allegiance, he goes. Why does Hashem then get mad at him for going? According to Rashi, Hashem isn't telling Bilam he has to go with Balak's men, but giving him permission to go if he would like. Hashem has the sense that Bilam really wants to go, and so he warns Bilam, "You can go, but whatever I command you to do, you'll have to obey." According to Rashi's approach, the whole reason God then sends the angel to block Bilam's path is to deter him from following through on the bad decision he's made to meet with Balak. But Bilam is undeterred. Despite the warnings, despite the deterrence, and despite Hashem basically telling Bilam that he'll be unable to speak words other than those Hashem puts in his mouth, Bilam proceeds to meet with Balak. This is consistent with Rashi's approach to the episode of the Meraglim, when Hashem tells Moshe, "Shlach lecha anashim." Rashi explains the extra word lecha as l'da'ascha, it's your idea. In other words, according to Rashi, Hashem is telling Moshe, send spies if you want, but I don't advise it. It's kind of like a parent giving their child a guilt trip about plans or choices they've made that the parent's unhappy with. The idea of the guilt trip is to deter the child from going forward with their plans, or at least to create a sense of discomfort as they proceed. Like the Jewish people proceed to send spies, despite Hashem advising otherwise, Bilam seems to proceed with no discomfort whatsoever, determined to accept the job of cursing the Jewish people. The Shaddal agrees with Rashi that Hashem gets angry with Bilam for his desire to curse the Jews on Balak's behalf, but he explains differently why Hashem gave Balak permission to go in the first place. According to Shaddal, Hashem allows Bilam to try to curse the Jews so that he can eventually intercede and foil the plan, and thereby demonstrate his great love for Am Yisrael. And this is indeed what happens. Bilam opens his mouth with curses on his tongue, but only blessings emerge. This is a perfect example of one of the fundamentals of our Jewish philosophy. Rabos machshavos believe ish ve'atzas Hashem hitakum. We make our plans on the micro level of being human, but God has a macro viewpoint. And his plans are ultimately the ones that come to fruition. Balak has a plan to curse the Jews using Bilam as a secret weapon, but their evil plot plays right into Hashem's hands. This is similar to what happens to Paro. Hashem punishes him for his desire to enslave and oppress the Jews, even though it was part of Hashem's plan, as forecast to Avraham in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And Paro's evil scheme plays right into Hashem's plan, allowing Hashem to perform the Ten Makos to demonstrate to us and to the nations of the world how much he loves us. The idea that Bilam actually wanted to curse the Jews is reflected in a famous medrash that holds Bilam up to Avraham in a side-by-side comparison. When Hashem instructs Avraham to perform Akedas Yitzchak and sacrifice his beloved son, Avraham gets up early the next morning, saddles his donkey, and sets out to fulfill Hashem's command. The medrash points to this as a demonstration of Avraham's great love for Hashem and enthusiasm to fulfill his word. Ahava mekalkeles es hashura. When someone deeply loves another person, that great love overpowers the instincts of our human nature. The opposite is true as well. Sina mekalkeles es hashura. Deep hatred for another can also overpower our human nature. This is demonstrated by Bilam, who also gets up early in the morning and saddles his donkey to set out on his journey. He must have really hated the Jewish people and felt excited at the opportunity to express it. The Or HaChaim takes a totally different approach to explaining why Hashem gets angry with Bilam for going with Balak's messengers even after Hashem has given him permission to go. According to the Or HaChaim, Bilam originally refuses the job, telling Balak's messengers that he could not and would not violate the word of Hashem, who had told him no. But when Hashem decides to give Bilam permission, and he ultimately goes on the mission, Bilam never tells Balak's messengers that Hashem changed his mind. He instead makes it seem like he has decided on his own to accompany them, suggesting by implication that he's willing to now violate the word of Hashem that he had previously said he wanted to uphold. This comes across like an act of rebellion to Hashem. So although Hashem gave Bilam permission to go, perhaps for the reason suggested by the Shaddal, to seize the opportunity to demonstrate his great love for Bnei Yisrael, he's unhappy at Bilam's misrepresentation of events. Bilam is making it look like it's easy to violate God's word. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch offers a very deep insight. He focuses on one particular word in the Pasuk that expresses Hashem's anger at Bilam, Vayichar af Elokim ki holechu. Rav Hirsch doesn't simply read that phrase as Hashem was angry with Bilam for going, ki holech, but instead ki holech hu, for being a holech, for being a goer with them. Of course, Hashem can't get angry with Bilam for going with them in body. He had Hashem's express permission to do so. But he didn't have to go with them in spirit, meaning Bilam didn't have to be like-minded with Balak and his mission. This distinction seems to be embedded in the psukim of our parsha itself. When Hashem denies Balak permission to go at first, he tells Balak, Lo telech imahem. And when he ultimately gives Balak permission to go, he says, Lech itam. Go with them physically, but lo telech imahem. Don't go with them spiritually. Don't be swayed by their agenda. Don't buy into their plan. However, Bilam ends up being a holechu, a goer with. Despite Hashem's warning, Bilam dives right in, going along with Balak both in body and in spirit. This is a really interesting lesson that definitely applies. There are times where we may find ourselves in a situation by necessity that is not representative of our values. It's one thing to find ourselves there in body, and yet another to also be there in spirit. We are charged to stay true to who we are, regardless of where we might find ourselves to be. The whole principle of when in Rome, do as the Romans, is antithetical to our Parsha's message. Instead, we live by the credo of, when in Rome, you're still you, the same person with the same values, which shouldn't change depending on your GPS coordinates. I find particularly compelling the approach of Rabbeinu Bechaye, who reminds us that the gift of prophetic speech is a gift Hashem gave specifically to the Jewish people, Hakol Kol Yaakov. Rabbeinu Bechaye quotes the Medrash, which explains that Am Yisrael's weapon is our voice, whereas Hayadayim Yadei Esav, the other nation's weaponry, is their swords. Based on this idea, although God ultimately does use Bilam as his mouthpiece to deliver a bracha to Bnei Yisrael, Hashem is angry here with Bilam for trying to assume a role that was not his to assume. You can go, says Hashem, but you'll only be able to say what I tell you to say, because the power of the word is not yours to use. And so when Bilam opens his mouth to curse the Jews, only blessings come out. The Kli Yakar suggests that this is the reason that Hashem opens the mouth of the donkey to speak to Bilam. Of course, it's not in the nature of animals to speak, but even an animal can speak if and when Hashem wants it to. And the fact that Hashem wants this donkey to speak in this story proves to Bilam that the power of kol is a gift bestowed by Hashem. The Sforno connects this to the words we say daily as we begin our Shmona Esrei, Hashem Svatai Tiftach. We ask Hashem to open our mouths to recite our tefillah because we recognize that the power of our kol tefillah, the power to use our voice in prayer, is that very same gift bestowed by Hashem. When we use words without recognizing their power and the source of that power, we are no better than a donkey. Rav Yehuda Halevi references this idea when he castigates us for reciting our tefillos without real kavana. In that case, says Rav Yehuda Halevi in his Sefer HaKuzari, we are no better than a parrot, reciting words without imbuing them with meaning. It seems that Bilam does ultimately learn this lesson.
When he meets face to face with Balak, he tells the king of Moab that he'll only be able to say the words that Hashem puts in his mouth. When his first attempt to curse the Jews fails and he gives them a bracha instead, Balak gets mad, but Bilam replies again, "I can only say the words that Hashem has put in my mouth." When his second attempt to curse the Jews fails and he gives them more words of bracha, Bilam again explains, "I can only say the words that Hashem puts in my mouth." And when his third attempt to curse the Jews fails and he continues to bless them, Bilam reminds Balak, "I can only say the words that Hashem puts in my mouth." In fact, Bilam quotes himself from the beginning of the story, repeating word for word his assertion that even if he were being offered $1 million, he can only say what Hashem wants him to say. The fact that he repeats this assertion identically suggests that he has come full circle, that although he tried to outsmart Hashem by following his own desire to curse the Jews, he now recognizes that his initial excuse is actually true. He's really nothing but a mouthpiece of God. This lesson learned the hard way by Bilam is something that comes naturally to Moshe, the paradigm of Hakol Kol Yaakov of Jewish prophecy. Moshe only accepts his mission to lead the Jewish people when Hashem promises him that he will put the words into Moshe's mouth. Moshe is more than happy to be just a mouthpiece, intuitively understanding that the power of the spoken word is a gift given by God. Our kol is our weapon, and we use it regularly in the form of tefillah to show God that we recognize that He alone is the source of all power and all blessing. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for learning Parshas Balak with the OU Women's Initiative.